Across the last 3 years, Century has been on a mission to fundamentally transform the model of care for our clients, our staff, and the industry.
We will share with you our journey towards ascent-based care, the lessons we've learned, and the people we've learned them with.
We're your hosts, Timothy Yeager
and Hillary Laney.
Welcome to the HRE Podcast. Well, welcome, Nairi.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, I was just saying that I've heard nothing but great things about you as a leader and from your team, from your leader and
from Kaylin.
And while we've talked across this, your time here and my time here, we really haven't had time to get to know each other. And so I'm looking forward to the next 30 minutes.
Awesome. Well, I'm happy to be here and looking forward to it.
Yeah. So tell us about yourself.
Well, so I'm originally from Houston, Texas, and I moved to Dallas in 2021, right before COVID hit. I've been in ABA for about 7 years, and I fell into it as a way to kind of just pay some bills in college. There was an RBT job posting, and I was pre-OT, and I was like, you know what? This might be a good experience for my resume, and I need something on the side. So I fell into it and I fell in love with everything that we were doing. I loved working one-on-one with the kids. My BCBAs at the time were amazing. So I went from the pre-OT route to being full-time RBT after graduating college, and I've loved every second of it. And I'm lucky that I found my way here to Century because I feel like I've finally found the place that feels like home. Like my work family, my work home, everything aligns with what I believe to be the best for the kids that we work for. And that's just, where I've been and how I feel. Yeah.
And now you're a director of clinical services.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
In the DFW area.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's been an exciting, exciting journey. On a personal note, I'm a big Friends addict. I've been in mourning recently.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Matthew Perry. But I love hiking and I just love spending time with my family.
Awesome.
When did you start working with us?
January of 2022. Nice. So, not that long ago, but it feels like it's been a while. Yeah.
So you started with us in mentorship as a supervising clinician.
Yes.
And then you got promoted during mentorship.
Yes.
Right?
Halfway
Can you tell
through.
Us through that? Talk us through that.
Yeah. So it was really fun being in the mentorship as a clinician. I was looking forward to the overlaps and to shift into the DCS role halfway through. I will say it was a little stressful because I had to switch paths, right? I had all of my overlaps figured out. I had foundational plans that I was writing. And then to shift to the other side, to go from learning how to participate in the FOC to learning how to help other clinicians participate in the foundations of care was somewhat stressful. I felt a little bit of that imposter syndrome in the beginning because I didn't even finish mentorship myself. But I do feel that it was a great experience. And right now with the clinicians that we have that haven't, gotten to participate yet, I really feel like I have the tools to guide them through their sessions and how to get started writing a foundational care plan and all of those things. So it's been really valuable.
How did your practice change?
So I think it gave me more structure, if that makes sense. So when I came into Centria and just my belief overall, it's been like, be flexible, put the client first, be client-centered. But I think just looking back, I didn't have the structure on like how to do that, right? Like when should I be flexible? When do I follow through on a boundary? So I think to go through mentorship and learn how to write the foundational plan and how to implement it is what gave me that structure and a way to implement it successfully and consistently as well.
How do you think the clients have been impacted through that?
Positively. So positively. I mean, I think I see the biggest change in our technicians. And I'm thinking of one technician in particular. She was not old school ABA, but she came from that background. And I've experienced that background too. So it's definitely a hard shift. So seeing her shift and other technicians make that shift and seeing how it impacts the clients, just overall joy, their affect, like they're happier in session. The techs are happier in session. That's the impact that I see. And I think that's wonderful.
Of course.
Yeah.
Did you have any clinicians you were supporting on your team who maybe struggled with mentorship?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the biggest struggle for a lot of clinicians during mentorship wasn't the mentorship itself. I think everyone was so excited to have that shift in care. I think it was just managing all of the expectations of mentorship along with their caseload and just helping them build the skills to manage their time through that experience.
What did you find was the most impactful thing you as a leader did for your team through that time?
I think just being there for them, and I hate that that sounds so vague, but just being that safe space for them to come and vent and be like, Nayeri, like I'm super stressed and I don't know what I'm doing. Please help, without them feeling like they're going to be in trouble or anything like that. And for me to jump in and understand like when they needed that listening ear, or when they needed a more solution oriented approach.
It's almost like building rapport with our clients.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. The parallels are there.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. It's like pairing, getting to know you, and then, hey, here's
some
what we're going to do.
Challenges we're going to work through together.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's great. Reminds me a lot of our process.
100%.
Works with everyone.
It does. I agree.
So DCS at DFW area.
Yes.
You've had a stretch quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So before Nicole came on board, you had 13?
I think 13.
13 BCBAs.
Onboarding of 14.
Yeah, yeah. BCBAs. And like going from an SE to a DCS, they'd be challenged in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Within a market that was somewhat in like a need of like a culture improvement, and like your leader, Laura, had taken over for a little bit, and like you came in. Like,
yeah.
What was that challenge like for you?
Oh, boy. You know, I think going from a SC to a DCS itself is challenging, right? Like there's new roles, new responsibilities that you have to get adjusted to. I think for DFW specifically too, we've been through so much in such a short amount of time in terms of changes in the market. So to come in with expectations, but also creating a better culture, that was a challenge because we've had clinicians that have been there longer than I have. And, you know, it's hard for them to go through so much change. And it's hard for me, myself, I was going through so much change and trying to encourage everyone to get on board with all of these changes. So I think that was the biggest struggle there.
Are you a person that naturally accepts change, or is it difficult process for
you? Oh, me? It's so hard. I have my routines. I have everything. Like I was nervous to travel. It's out of my routine, you know? And it's anything. So it's definitely hard for me, but I think I've come up with ways to cope through it and see like the bigger picture at the end and remind myself like, hey, it's okay. Like you've done this before. Change is good. So that's kind of the attitude I try and go with my team too, where it's like, hey, I know this is so hard right now. I know change is hard. Here's the big picture. How can I support you in the moment? You know,
it probably helps you have the skills to help people who have a hard time with change.
Yeah. I can directly relate when someone says they're struggling. I'm like, me too. Yeah. Me too. I feel you.
I'm the opposite. I'm just like, let's just keep changing.
Go with the flow. Yeah. I wish I was like that. It would make life easier.
I have so many lines under my eyes.
Because I feel that way?
Because you change everything all the time. And I have to adjust all the time.
You're like, wait, slow
like,
down.
Wait, we just made a decision. So your clinic, what have you seen as being a pivotal skill your clinicians have come out of mentorship with? We've wrapped up in Texas. I don't know if you probably have just a couple people still getting some support.
Three clinicians that still need to do mentorship, and then a few just wrapping up.
So overall, you have a lot of people who've gone through. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say are some pivotal skills you've seen that they've learned through the training they received?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think for them, the pivotal skill that they've learned is just, again, going in with that flexibility, but also like just being okay with not knowing the answer right away, and just being open to learning from their clients versus feeling like I need to come in with all of these answers. I think that mindset shift has helped a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like sometimes not having an answer is the answer, right? Mm-hmm. Like the willingness to sit and analyze.
Yeah.
That is the answer.
Yeah. Like, and let me take a step back.
As a BCBA, mm-hmm. I feel like we're under so much pressure to, like, have something to do.
Yes.
And I think that's also a criticism of this work is, like, well, then we're just doing nothing. But
yeah.
it is the most integral part of the work, mm-hmm. is the analysis and the understanding of the next decision.
Yes.
So I agree. Thanks for pointing that out. That's such a pivotal thing to be comfortable doing.
Absolutely. And I see it in my new clinicians that have come on board too, where they go in feeling like, I don't know the answer. I don't know what to tell this parent. It's okay. It's okay to take a step back, go home, look up some research, talk to me, talk to your coworkers, and we'll figure it out together. There's no, expectation for you to know everything. I don't know everything. Yeah. So no one needs to know everything.
Do you feel like the new clinicians you have who haven't gone through mentorship, mm-hmm. you have the ability to support them at least with some of the initial components of the foundations of care?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's given me the confidence to be like, hey, slap an overlap on my calendar. I want to come out there or see this kid, see what's going on. And then we'll work together in our one-on-one. We have one-hour one-on-ones.
A week.
A week. So we can really open up Care Connect, start writing those foundational plans together. So, 100%.
From your perspective as a DCS, let's say you hadn't been through the either training, or maybe you'd mm-hmm. only been through the DCS training.
Yeah.
What do you think are the components a director needs to have to be able to provide that support to their team?
Yeah. I think just the skill set to actually write the foundational plan and just see what's going on in a session to identify or help clinicians identify what are precursors, what are HRE, what does that look like for this client? But also the communication skills with your clinicians to kind of give them that feedback and guidance. Because I think for me in this role, I never want it to feel like I absolutely know more than you, right? We have the same letters, we have the same background.
Yeah.
So I really want it to be a collaborative approach where they're just learning from me and then I'm going to learn something from them. So having that communication style, I think, is super important for that feedback to be received well and then for it to be implemented.
What you're modeling is professional humility.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that we've talked about. And it's underlying this idea that BCBAs feel the need to have the answer. Mm-hmm. And when they, especially brand new BCBAs, and this idea that you don't have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
The data, the context, the environment, the observation, the people, the stakeholders, collectively we can come together and get to a hypothesis. Yes. Right. I think one of the biggest values we found in the foundational plan is, and just this approach in general, is you don't need to have the answer in the moment. Mm-hmm. We have a technology and a tool to turn a behavior off, create a safe environment that's dignified, that's doesn't break trust, mm-hmm. and then do the analysis. We don't have those nervous, sweaty moments where the kid's in an interfering behavior and I don't know what to do. I need to have the answer. Just take a step back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And back to baseline.
And having a leader that models that is a very critical thing, because BCBAs put a lot of pressure on themselves to be the person with the answers.
I agree. And I've been there. I've been there as a clinician or RBT where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is happening. I need to figure it out right now. So it's huge to have that shift.
Yeah.
This is a purely selfish question. I really appreciate your perspective. If you could change one thing about the mentorship that you either went through as a DCS or a supervising clinician, mm-hmm. what would it be?
I think I liked the workshop. I think I would start more with overlaps and just getting people familiar with what these things mean in the moment. And then it might make the foundational plan writing a little less stressful, because that's where I saw the biggest stress from mm-hmm. my clinicians. And I remember myself, so I'm like, oh, I have to write this. I don't know if it's perfect.
Yeah.
Again, mm-hmm. But I think that would be the biggest thing. And I think it would make the foundational plan writing a lot easier later on.
Yes.
For those listening that aren't part of Centria, we kicked off our mentorship program across all of our markets with a big workshop event, right? Where we brought people into a place, taught them how to write a foundational plan, had them write foundational plans. And so I think that feedback is incredibly valid.
That was a hypothesis
and
an experiment that didn't go well, right? Yeah. So we got data and we learned that hypothesis was wrong, that a workshop would teach people the skills they needed. And you're right, the experiential learning,
mm-hmm.
that's the next hypothesis we're going to test is,
can
we do this instead through experiential learning and write from there?
I'm excited to see how that goes.
I think you're going to be doing it.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right.
You're a DCS. Our DCSs are now our trainers.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to get
excited.
You're already doing it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, essentially what you've talked about is how we're planning our next round of training. So it gives me a lot of hope and joy to hear that you're doing that already.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited.
So
yeah.
Being that you talked about Centuria in the midst of change in the DFW and all you've seen in the last 2 years, maybe you could talk about that. Like, you know, what has that change been like? And what's like the growth you've seen Centuria make across these 2 years?
I think my experience has been so, you know, towards the DFW market. Yeah. It's been great to feel like there's been some stability there. I think expectations in the last 2 years have really changed a lot. And I think it depends on the leader that's communicating it too. And we've had a lot of changes in that sense as well. So that's been huge. And then the values shift has been huge. Even if it's been communicated before, I'm actually seeing it now in person, where I feel like we were so focused on getting cases open, getting kids started in therapy without really taking a step back to evaluate the clinical needs of each and every individual client, which we're doing such a great job of doing right now. And that's been so wonderful to have the acuity scoring or just having the ability to review these clients coming through intake before assigning them to a clinician. Really listening to clinicians' feedback on, hey, this tech's not ready. You know, they need additional support and training. What tools do we have to set that up? Or this client's going through this right now, lots of challenging behaviors. I don't have the tools and resources. Where's the help? Where I feel like maybe 2 years ago, that might not have been there.
Speaking of some help.
Yeah.
We rolled out a new technician training.
Yes.
How has that impacted?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. We had one tech who was still learning a lot. And, you know, we got to a point where we're like, hey, do we think we need to take a step back and put her back into the BT training? And we did.
So she had went through the former training initially?
Yeah, the old training. Old training. Yes. Do we need to put her in the new training? And we did. We had a conversation with her about it. She was on board. And the feedback we got from her BCBAs after she went through that training was like night and day. Mm. She was That's so great. Much more confident. Her, like, there was joy on her face. She was more open to being silly with her kids. It was just amazing. And we had multiple BCBAs say, like, no, she's wonderful. She's improved so much. Or they didn't even know her background. So they were just like, she's a phenomenal technician. Mm. So it was phenomenal. Awesome.
That's
great. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
It's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
It's been a journey for that too. It could be a whole other podcast.
Yeah. That's <Yes. a> training. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I'm really happy we have that. I think it's so important for techs because they're there in home. Well, I run the in-home team, right? Yeah. So we're putting these techs in a home and they're the face of our company and what we stand for. So it's so important for them to feel confident going in. So I'm really thankful for that.
Confident and aligned to our values, yeah. right? Yes. Because they're in a place where they need to be living out our values and all the decisions they're making, but they're not receiving like constant direct oversight.
100%.
Yeah, especially in the home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be so hard. So absolutely agreed.
What's next for you? Like you seem like a person that has a plan, right? What is the NIRI plan? And
you know. Oh my gosh. It's funny that you say that. I think a lot of people think I have a plan. I think in my head, I have an idea of like, I want to be in a place where I'm helping people in this field and I'm open to everything, right? I don't think I came into Centuria saying, I'm going to be DCS one day. But I think the choices I made every day, like presented me that opportunity. And when it came, it's like, yeah, that aligns. Like that, I see myself doing that, so I'm gonna go for it. So that's my 5-year random plan. Yeah. So not the same as like needing to have that sense of control in my day to day. That I go with more with the flow.
Well, I commend you because like the opportunity did present itself for you. A DCS role opened up, right? And I can remember Laura was like, I have this person named Nairi. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, let's talk about it. And I don't think we had met yet. And and maybe we met casually at some point, but just incredibly impressed when we had our interview. And just knowing that, like, what matters most, and it matters a lot, I should say, not maybe not most, but leadership matters significantly. And having the ability to have a confident leader like yourself in a room, like supporting clinicians. such a valuable asset for us in an organization where we're trying to provide stability across our markets. Yeah. And so it wasn't something that we had like a second thought about.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Oh, for sure. You did the work to set yourself up for that opportunity. And I appreciate that perspective. I think that a lot of people can learn from that perspective because we have the opposite perspective where I'm going to get to this role, mm-hmm. do work, feel the sense that they're owed a role, but they haven't done the work to prepare themselves to be available and ready when that role comes about. And I think it's a great thing that you've modeled and people should learn from.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all those kind words. I know Laura's been the best supporter, and to hear you say all of that, it just means so much.
Laura's definitely your cheerleader.
Yeah.
She's everybody's cheerleader.
She's everyone's cheerleader. I love her so much. She's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a question. So if you were to pick out like one section on the foundational plan that you think is the most impactful, what would you think it is?
Oh, I think the HRE. I feel like that sounds basic, but I see so many technicians not even fully recognizing it across the board yet. So they're like, oh, like this is HR. It's like, well, wait, like this doesn't match what's written. So do you truly know what a person's happy, relaxed, and engaged looks like?
Yeah.
Because that's going to determine when you're going to jump in and teach and when you're going to do all of these things. And if you can't recognize that, then I feel like the rest of the plan kind of can fall apart very easily. Yeah.
Do you find that you've taken that same approach with your staff?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think I realized it till now. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm like, are you good? Are you happy?
Are you HRE? Can I challenge you right now?
Are you
now?
In a place where I can like present this to you?
Yes.
Right? Because sometimes like real life happens, right? And if I have someone coming in to a one-on-one and they're just going through so much, like that's probably not the time to maybe coach them through something versus let me get that figured out first. Let's get you to a good place and then come in with whatever we need to do. So, yeah.
I love that.
Thanks for letting me realize that.
You're welcome.
I never even thought about it in that perspective as well, but in similar fashion to HRE, someone may be in HRE and still now is not the time to push.
True.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking just like one of my coaches, John Austin, he went to one of our talks at ABAI, and I came out of that presentation just like very excited. And like speaking to a large room of people, that is definitely a context that's like HRE for me, right? Like people talking about the work that we're doing, having a team there, very excited about the work and proud of the work that we're doing. And I came out of that and he's like, now's not the time for me to provide feedback. You did a really good job. There's some things I want to talk to you about. Let's I'll hold off.
Yeah. Let's enjoy the
like,
moment.
Thank you for that. For that, right?
Like, letting me have the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's in similar fashion. It's like just knowing the people that like you work
absolutely.
With, the people that you support and serve, and identifying like is now the right time or
yeah.
not. Yeah. What would you tell a BCBA who's out there who doesn't work for Centria, why they should work for Centria?
Oh, come work for us. We we put our clients first, and we have such a great culture that will support you through all of your needs, and you're going to learn and grow so much here. So please, please come work for us. Please, if anyone's listening.
Especially in the DFW area.
Yes.
last question. What's your HRE?
Ooh, I have a few. Definitely my couch. Watching Friends reruns.
Watching Friends.
Yeah, 100%. I actually just finished with my husband a 1,000-piece Friends puzzle last night. So that's one. Being with my family all the time. Even if we're not doing anything, just sitting in quiet and hanging out. And then being outdoors. Like, I like hiking. We were on our way here, and I'm like, the mountains. Yosemite's nearby. I gotta go.
Yeah.
So just being in nature and away from all of the chaos of daily life, that's my HRE. So I have a few. And one might fit a certain day, depending
for
on
sure.
context matters.
You know, how I feel.
Well, thank you for traveling. Thank you for
of
taking
course.
The time. And thank you for the work that you do for us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you so much for all of your kind words. It feels good to just feel so valued. So thank you guys.
Well, you're incredible. So thank you.
Stop. I don't take compliments.
Well, you should, because you deserve them.
Well, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And that concludes another episode of the HRE Podcast.
Thanks for listening. If the HRE Podcast is a part of your Synthesize Reinforcers, let us know what else would make the perfect reinforcement context for you in the comments below. And join us next time.